Tanya for the 19th of Sivan is in Perek Vov, Chapter 6 of Shara Yichud Ve'emunah, and it's on page 306 in the English Tanya. Five lines from the top. The Alter Rebbe pointed out in yesterday's Shia the difference between the creation and the relationship between God and the world versus the relationship between the body and the soul. Although the soul is the ikka and the essence of the human being, and the body is merely the housing, the appendage to the neshama, so that it is a secondary significance to the neshama, it's an addition to the neshama, yet the neshama does not create the body. So as unimportant as the body may be compared to the neshama, it still has some significance of its own because it exists on its own. The soul did not create it. And even after it's created, the body lives not off the soul as much as off the food that it eats. So that it has an independent existence, and although it is of lesser significance, yet some existence it has, and therefore it may be called an appendage, an addition, an oid. Whereas the creation of the world came out of nothing. God created the world out of nothing. And therefore, the world's existence, relative to God's existence, can't even be considered a lesser significance or an addition, because it is in fact absolute nothingness. Only God exists and nothing more. This is what Alter Rebbe said earlier, that if God were to remove the words and the letters with which he creates the world, if he were to remove them from the world, then the world would go back to being absolute nothing, ayin ve'efes mamish, just as it was before creation. Because when a human being undoes his creation, he shatters the vessel, he destroys, tears up the painting or whatever else that he created, then he's merely changing the form. He can't destroy the substance. He's changing it from a useful form to a broken form to a useless form. But something still exists. If he burns it, there's ashes and so on. Whereas when God were to destroy the world, God forbid, there'd be nothing left. There'd be absolute nothing. That's in terms of the material. Furthermore, even in terms of the conceptual existence, that such a thing exists in concept, that there's such a thing as a table, a chair, a tree, up and down, big and small, all of these things, even in its conceptual form, would stop existing if God stopped creating the world. Because it's not as if the idea existed. The idea, the picture, the image, the concept of a table existed, but nobody had ever created one before. And then God came along and created this table. Table meaning something that you put things on. But the whole concept of table, not just the existence of it, but the concept of it, did not exist until God said, let there be a table. So it's not that there were certain blueprints or plans, architect's drawings, but no building, and then God came and created the building. The plan itself, the concept itself, is also created. So that if God stops saying, let there be a heaven, then not only wouldn't there be an actual heaven, there wouldn't even be a conceptual heaven. And furthermore, the fact that it was once, if God were to stop creating the world had existed for a certain amount of time, 5,749 years, and if it stops now, then it will stop existing in fact, it will stop existing even in concept, but it will have existed in time. There was a time when it did exist. But the truth is that if God stops creating, then time stops existing also. So there is no past, and there is no time. So that it wouldn't even exist as something that once was. it wouldn't even exist as a memory. That's how non-existent the world is and was and therefore remains. Whereas the body is not dependent on the soul for its creation, and therefore, as insignificant as it may be, it has some identity and some existence separate from the soul, because the soul is not its creator. Five lines on the top. V'lo chein hutzach hakosuv lahazir. That's why the pasuk has to warn us. V'yadai to hayein, that you should know today the hashiveis elavavecha, and take to heart. Knowing is one thing, and taking to heart is a much stronger term. And yet we need to take to heart, because if we don't take it to heart, our senses, our experience might mislead us. And what do we need to take to heart? It should not occur to you that heaven and earth and all that is in them are a separate entity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu memale kol ha'olam, and God fills this entity kihislapshes ha'neshama beguf, like a neshama clothes itself in a body. U'mashpia keyach ha'tzemeach ba'aretz, and in clothing himself in the world, God gives the earth the ability to make things grow, v'keyach ha'tnua begalgalim, and the movement of the planets. God gives the planets their movement, and he moves them and conducts them as his will. Just as the soul moves the body and conducts the affairs of the body as he chooses, as the soul chooses. So we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that God fills the world like a neshama fills a body, which would mean that God is the life behind the world, and he is the movement behind the world, and without him nothing can happen, without him nothing moves, no event occurs, no life takes place, no growth, no. And even that would be a terrible mistake, because even that is an understatement and a misunderstanding of the whole nature of God's oneness. Ach be'emes ein hamashul de'milinim shoklau, the comparison of God creating with the neshama giving life to the body is not correct at all. They're not similar. Ki haneshama v'haguf hein be'emes nifrodim ze mizeh, because the body and the soul are really separate from each other, not only in their physical existence, but also b'shashon, even in their origin and their roots. Ki ein hisavas shedesh haguf me'atzmusei, because the existence of the body does not come, the essence of that is not rooted min nishmosei in the neshama ela mitipas of the ime. The essence of the body comes from the body of the father and mother. The gam achritein, and even after the child is born, after the child is conceived, ein gidulei min nishmosei levado, the body, the fetus, doesn't grow and develop by virtue of the neshama alone, el al yidei achilas ishtiyas yimei kol tishach adoshim, but it is nurtured and it grows from the food that the mother eats and drinks during the 9 months of pregnancy. The achar kach, and even after birth, it is not only the neshama that gives life to the body, but also al yidei achilas ishtiyas ba'atzmei, through the child's own eating and drinking. Whereas with the heaven and the earth, the very essence of the heaven and earth, even conceptually, was created out of a total nothingness, not even a concept. It comes solely from the word of God, the gama dayin nitzav dvar Hashem la'ilom, and it's not something that once was, but also now the word of God stands forever. V'sheifeya behem tamid b'chol rega, and flows to the creation constantly at every moment, u'mehava esam tamid ma'ayin liyesh, and is constantly creating them out of nothing. Kesav mehashemesh b'teich guf kadra shemesh atzmi derech moshul, as the existence of light of the sun, while it is still within the body of the sun, so that it never becomes a separate entity, and it continues to exist only by virtue of the luminary. V'im kein heim b'teilim b'emes b'metzias l'gamri l'gabi dvar Hashem v'ruach pivis barich. And therefore, they are truly bottle, not just dependent, or secondary, or insignificant, or of lesser significance, but truly bottle of no significance at all, of no existence of their own, other than an expression of God. Because the world itself is bottle to the Word of God. And the Word of God is miyuchad in b'muhusegatz musa yizbarek, k'mesh yizbarek l'kamon, k'bitulei ra'shemesh b'shemesh, that the Word of God with which the world is created is also bottle and absorbed within God, never leaves God, and therefore, if the mokit, the creative force, is nothing besides God, and the created being is totally dependent on its creative force, then it follows that the created being is totally bottle to the Eibishter. However, this is the power, the gvura, of the Eibishter. Midas hagvura v'hatzimtzum lahasdiru lahailim hachayis hashifeya bohem, that God conceals and withholds from revealing the flow of life into the world. So that the earth, the heaven and the earth and all their hosts should appear as if they have an existence of their own. Like the example of the water that is seen through a colored glass, it presents itself colored. But even as the water presents itself in a colored form, that's only its presentation to the outside world. But in and of itself, for itself, there is no color at all. So the coloration is only for the outside. And in the same way, this coloration, this tintum that exists on creation, is only for the observer. It's the way creation presents itself. It's not the way creation truly is. So the timtum is only l'tachteinim. Avo l'gabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu kula kaneke lo mamash chshive. For God there is nothing else, no other existence. Ka'ir HaShemesh b'Shemesh ve'ein midas ha'gvura masteres chas v'sholom l'fonav yizbarech. And this attribute of gvura does not conceal from God ki enenu davar b'fnei atzmei ala HaShem hu halikim. Because it is not a separate thing, it itself, the concealment itself, is the name Elikim, and Hashem, hu Elikim. And Elikim is not separate from Hashem. As the example that's given elsewhere in Chassidus, that when a teacher uses an example in order to teach his students, so for the student, if he is wise, he sees that the example is merely an example for the Nimshal. The Moshal is merely a tool towards the Nimshal. And so when he hears the Moshul, he hears the Nimshul. There's no separation and there's no concealment. If the student is not so bright, then he hears the Moshul, but he doesn't see any connection or any evidence of a Nimshul. Whereas the teacher, for the teacher it isn't possible. It doesn't make any sense that the Moshul that he gives should conceal the Nimshul. Because he created the mushal, it's of him. How can his mushal conceal the nimshal from him? And the same way, since Shem Elikim is God, Midas HaGvura is the Eibishter himself, how can his Midas HaGvura conceal from him? In the Hayim Yem, for the 19th of Sivan, Yutes Sivan, the Rebbe writes, that the Chedesh Ma'chesh Ben Tofresh Yud Gimel, Kova HaTzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzedek established in the year 1852, Milvad HaShiyurim HaAcherim, besides all the other study programs, Shir Limud im Azmur, a set time to study with my grandfather, the Rebbe Marash, b'chol yeim shtei shoyes u'mechta, every day 2.5 hours. B'chedif maschil mishoha asidis laila, during the winter, this 2.5 hours began at 10 o'clock at night, u'b'kayetz mishoha revi'is lifnei's bekin. And in the summer, he would study at 4 o'clock in the morning. Shtei shonim hoya halimud. This study went on for 2 years, and it consisted of Kabbalah in biyurei Chassidus, Kabbalah with the explanation of Chassidus. Achaz man ze, after this period of time, ad Elul tof reish tez zayin, until Elul of 1856, she'oz nifsak hashir, at which time this study session was interrupted, lomdu sifrei mechka. So during that time, they studied, in those 2.5 hours, philosophical works. Epsad Yigon, Meir Nevuchim, Ikorim, Kuzri, V'eid, Alpi, Teres Achsidus. The Tzemach Tzedek taught all of these. The writings of Epsad Yigon, the Meir Nevuchim, the Ikorim, and the Kuzri, all of it according to Chassidus.